Broadway's my beat. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, it's an enchanted island, or a prison cut off from the rest of the world. It all depends upon the mood you're in. The sudden sounds that dart from doorways, call them fury, or make yourself believe their promises dimly heard. Or calm yourself if the stare that just trailed by you has nothing to do with hunger. You can kid yourself on Broadway because that's what it's here for. It's Broadway, my beat. To a policeman, a telephone is an instrument of mayhem. It carries the after images of violent death with the speed of sound. The telephone told me there'd been a murder. It told me just now. It told me where. It told me to climb 6 flights of steps at the Ramsey apartment, and I'd find death waiting for me in an elevator near the head of the stairs.
Right over here, Danny.
Hi, Mugovan.
In here, in the elevator. There he is, Danny, on the floor.
Who is he?
No identification. Person unknown shot to death by person unknown. Whereabouts of the shooting is a moot point.
This man's too well dressed to go around without a wallet or some kind of identification.
Maybe he was heisted.
Who are you?
The elevator man.
Yeah, Danny, he runs the elevator. He called in the precinct. I got the call.
Maybe the guy's wallet was heisted. Robbery, huh? With a deadly weapon.
You.
Funny man.
What's your name, elevator man?
Eddie Amboy, 1212 E-54. You walk up two, turn right, turn left, then walk up a half till there's nothing but a door. Eddie Amboy, my place.
Okay, Eddie, tell me about it.
About what?
Book him, Mugovan. I'm tired.
Oh, about the guy here? I already did that. Ask this Mugovan here. I did the story to him.
Mr. Clover's tired. Do the story again.
Yeah, I am. The guy pushes a buzz on the first floor.
Where were you?
In the sub-basement. Little thing's wrong with this elevator. I was fixing it. I'm conscientious.
Go ahead.
The guy buzzes, I bring the car up, I open the door. This guy gets in. He's holding his tummy like it aches him. He says, 6th floor, please. I close the door. I turn the handle. We ride. Now comes the 6th floor. We stop. I open the door. I look around. The guy's on the floor, dead. Tummy ache turns out to be caused by bullets.
The story he told you, Mugovan?
The same.
If it gets too complicated, I'll be glad to do it again. Start all over from the sub-basement.
You did good.
Thanks. Can I have my elevator back now?
It's not yours anymore, kid. When a man gets murdered on an elevator, the elevator suddenly belongs to the world. A man's dying takes many shapes, occurs in many places. It's rare that he has a choice. But the unknown, unnamed man whose face was now gaunt against the pressure of his cheekbones, whose eyes held no reflection of the light shining into them, seemed to have made one. He chose not to die in the street, but to crawl within the metal walls of an elevator. And the plain, the prosaic words, the dying words on his lips, he must have chosen, too. Because for him, they had meaning. It was my job to find out their meaning. At headquarters, we put traces out on the murdered man. Who was he? If we knew that, maybe we'd know why he had to die. And in the morning, I went back to the 6th floor he'd wanted. I had Mugovan's list of the tenants in the 3 apartments on that floor. I rang the first bell on the list.
What do you want?
You're Miss Conrad?
What do you want?
I'm from the police.
Who is it, Martha? Who is it?
Don't you think you'd better tell her?
Martha, how dare you not answer me? Who is it? And don't tell me it's no one because I heard you whispering. Who is it, Martha?
It's the police.
Oh. Oh, how wonderful. The police. But isn't that the end? Show them in, Martha. No. No, wait, darling. First, I want to paint my face.
Come in.
But I...
It's all right. She's already done her face. Come in. Down this hole, please.
No. So don't come any closer. I want you both to stand right where you are. Especially you, policeman.
You're Miss Conrad.
Mary Conrad. You may call me Mary. Because Mary's a grand old name. Martha.
Yes.
Martha, get the policeman and me something. A Libation, a morning martini, anything the policeman wants.
Don't go away, Martha.
You afraid to be left alone with me, policeman?
Miss Conrad, a man was murdered in this building last night.
Murdered? In this building? That's the inn. Martha, did you hear what the beautiful man said?
He got in the elevator and asked for the sixth floor. Was it you he wanted to see, Miss Conrad?
The policeman must want a drink.
No, Mary, he wants to...
Do as I say, Martha. Don't be angry with me, darling. Just always do as I say. Now, where were we? Oh, yes, the murdered man. Who was he?
We don't know, but I have a picture.
A picture? How wonderful. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Here.
Very distinguished. So dead. So horribly dead.
Do you know him?
Would it make it easier for you if I did, policeman?
Do you know him, Miss Conrad?
I'm sorry, dreadfully sorry. We don't know this man, do we, Martha? Do we?
No. No, we don't know him.
Where were you last night, Miss Conrad?
I was here. All day. All evening, all night. I didn't go out once. Did I, Martha?
No.
The commotion in the hall when the man was found. It didn't wake you?
Did it wake me, Martha?
No, you slept very soundly.
You sleep in the same room with Miss Conrad, Martha?
Well, I...
Policeman, you talk to Martha as if she were a servant.
But I thought...
Of course Martha's not a servant. She's my sister. Isn't she the end?
Maybe I said something after that. I don't remember. What I do remember is waving my jaw a few times and trying to smile and give the impression of course she's your sister. What else? Then I left. The apartment door across the hall had a nameplate that said Jonathan Quill and was equipped with a door knocker, a brass dragon sticking his tongue out at me. I lifted him up and pushed his face against the door. And then it happened. The door swung open. I stepped inside. How was I to know I was standing in the middle of a train crossing?
Jump over it, boy. Jump over it if you want to get hit by a train. Oh, yeah.
You sure had an arrow team, I didn't you? Could have taken off a troll.
Yeah. Hey, what goes on?
Look at it go. Oh, an exact replica of the super chief. And almost as fast. Oh, I always wanted to be a brakeman, boy. Became a millionaire instead. What did you want to become?
A millionaire. I got to be a policeman instead.
Glad you came. Never had a policeman watch the train. Never thought about asking you.
Well, now that you're delighted, Mr. Quill, I hope I won't do anything to break up your fun. I'm a policeman come to see about a murder.
Yeah, murder? Wait till I throw the switch, boy. Wait till I throw the switch. Did I see a murder? You mean the one down the hall? The elevator murder? I didn't do it, and I'll prove it to you.
Mr. Quill.
You better prove it to you. You want an alibi, don't you? That's why you came here. I know all about policemen. You want alibis.
Yeah?
Come in here. Harold, that's a policeman. You know what to do, Harold. Right over there, that's a policeman right there.
Hello. My name's Harold Blake, Jonathan's partner.
Danny Clover.
You seem to have gotten Jonathan excited. Jonathan gets excited.
Come in, Harold. Tell you know what to do now, Harold.
Well, ever since the elevator boy was in here last night...
Eddie Amboy? He didn't say anything about that. I didn't know he came in the apartment.
Well, he reported the murder from here.
You mean he used your phone to call the police?
Yes, that's right, to call the police. I was here visiting with Jonathan. I live in the next apartment, you see.
I see. Pretty late for visiting, wasn't it?
By some standards.
By some standards?
Frankly, Mr. Clover, and you've probably never gotten an alibi like this in your life, we wanted to watch the trains on what we call the milk run. That's our alibi.
Tell him what else, Harold.
Oh, I don't think that's necessary.
Go ahead, tell me what else.
It's about the elevator operator, about Eddie. Jonathan thinks Eddie is the murderer.
That's what I think.
Oh? Why?
Because Eddie is mean and spiteful and tried every which way to make an honest dollar. He's the type that murders other types.
What else?
Need there be anything else? Eddie is the killer. $1 million.
You see how it is, Mr. Clover?
No, I don't see. But I'm going to try. Where there's peace, gentlemen, and quiet. Away from trains, gentlemen.
Danny, you in the mood for
heap
big powwow?
Huh? Say that again,
Tartaglia. Powwow, that's Indian talk, a throwback.
Try me once more, Tartaglia.
Well, a throwback to last night. Every night I play Cowboys and Indians with Mrs. Tartaglia and my six boys.
Hmm?
Yeah, and I am always an Indian. Hey, you should see my teepee, Danny. Surplus army blanket.
There must be a string of beads around here somewhere, Tartaglia. Go play someplace else.
Danny, please, be serious. We got work to do.
Oh.
Well, who makes medicine first, you or me?
Huh? Me, Danny, me. Now, this is a very grave matter. The technical boys say the signal system on the elevator where deceased unknown was found murdered... You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
They say said signal system was disconnected when they went over it.
So?
So, what makes the mystery into a big pile is that somewhere there is a discrepancy.
Like what?
Like a discrepancy in time. Detective Mugovan received the murder call at his precinct at 2:55 in the a.m. He noted it down.
So?
So, Dr. Sinsky says after examination of said unknown deceased, that said unknown deceased was deceased for at least 2 hours when found,
mm-hmm.
which would place the time of his murder, considering the here and there of police routine, at about 1 in the morning, not at 2:55 as was called in by the elevator operator. Now, this means the boy cut off the signal system. He should not be disturbed. Danny, I ain't finished. I can't never get a word out edgewise. Danny!
The doorman told me I'd find you here, Eddie.
Oh, well, it's a hard detective, huh? Where else would you find this elevator boy? Blood, huh? I'll answer that. In the sub-basement, fixing the stinking elevator.
Last night, Eddie, did you have to fix the elevator before you called the police?
That's a very interesting question, because I can't figure out what it means. Very mystical.
I'll explain it to you, elevator boy.
Now, go back, Bloodhound. You come under here with me, you might get your throat caught in a steel cable or something. Under here is for experts.
From here, then. The call you made to the police, Eddie. How come it was almost an hour late? That's a long time, an hour.
Hey, you're good. You boys are real good to find out a thing like that.
We got experts, too, Eddie. So maybe you better put your elevator away someplace and come out here and talk to me. Expert to expert.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. One more tap in its tummy. Hey, hold that.
Eddie, get out! Get out!
I can't! My foot is caught! Help! Oh!
No.
Listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway is a place that mourns the dead only in passing. The cold whisper of death winds its way through the neon chasm, and Broadway notes it, shudders, and huddles in on itself. To the murder of an anonymous man in an elevator, to the crushing out of another man's life by that same elevator, Broadway reacted true to form. It read the headlines, shrugged, and slipped them neatly into the nearest trash can. But at headquarters, it isn't that easy. Even Sergeant Tartaglia didn't think so.
It ain't easy, Danny. 20 years in the business, and, it still ain't easy.
What isn't, Tartaglia?
To be in a business where the product is dead bodies, where the clients are murderers. I've often commented thusly to Mrs. Tartaglia.
Does she comfort you then, Tartaglia?
Like an angel. She goes to the mixmaster, beats up a recipe, and presents me with a confection. I happen to have one here now, Danny. Homemade halva. Here, have a piece. Go on.
Thanks. Mmm. Good. Okay, Tartaglia, brief me.
Oh, this halva. For her, it's like chewing on a dream, huh, Danny?
My compliments to the missus. Brief me, Tartaglia.
Yeah. Well, Adam. The unknown man found dead in the elevator of the first part is still, to all intents and purposes, unknown.
Yeah, but you'll keep after it, Tartaglia.
Oh, like an old hound dog.
Mm-hmm.
Item, the death of the elevator operator, Eddie Amboy. The boys in technical concur with your opinion that he was indubitably murdered.
Well, it's generous of them.
Yeah, they thought so. They said the hacksaw you found on the roof of the apartment building, plus the evidence that the elevator cable had been sawed through, this made it murder.
What else, Tartaglia?
Well, we have checked on the background of Eddie Amboy. Found he ran an elevator and in his room had a wife, Mrs. Eddie Amboy.
She there now?
Oh, yeah, Danny, yeah. The boys are even now, keeping tabs on her.
Tartaglia, give me the rest of that halva. I may need it for comfort.
Yeah?
Mrs. Amboy?
Who are you?
I'm from the police, Danny Clover.
Well?
May I come in?
You're from the police. You want to see me about what?
About Eddie, about your husband.
He's dead. You're late. You should have come months ago. Eddie's dead. Last night he got married to an elevator.
Eddie was murdered, Mrs. Amboy.
He'd want to take the trouble. Oh, come on in. Sit over there if you want to.
Thanks. You said I should have come months ago. Why?
Could have arrested him. Could have had him sentenced for every little petty crime he committed. I added it up one night. Come to 157 years.
That way, huh?
This way, Mr. Clover. I could have visited him in jail, brought him pineapple upside down cake. He liked pineapple upside down cake. It's a dream I had. To watch him eating pineapple upside down cake behind bars.
You sound bitter enough to want to kill him.
And wreck that dream I told you about? Myself? That was Eddie's department.
You were around when Eddie was killed?
Still doubt me, Mr. Clover. Don't doubt me. I've been on vacation, mister. To Washington, the District of Columbia, to our nation's capital. 2-day all-expense tour by bus to gawk at the White House, Lincoln's Memorial.
Miss Simmons.
Eddie sent me away. He had a girl.
Hmm. When did you get back, Mrs. Amboy?
This morning. Time to read the papers. And time to know that Eddie was dead. Time to come back here and sniff perfume I never had. Another woman.
We'll check then. About the trip to Washington, I mean.
Yeah, sure. You know what I was just thinking, Mr. Clover?
What?
6 years. I get my first 2-day vacation in 6 years and it becomes a matter for the police. How long will it be before Eddie leaves me alone? Ah, oh, you've seen women like me before, mister. Help me out. How long will it be?
We'll just check about a bus trip. No longer than that.
So wait a minute. Don't go yet, Mr. Clover. I got it right here. Here. Take this wallet.
What about it?
Before I burned Eddie's clothes this morning, I went through them. Maybe he'd left me $5 insurance money. I found his wallet. Eddie never had no wallet like this. Anyhow, it's empty.
Not quite empty. A picture of a man. An identification card.
You know?
Not really, Mrs. Amboy, but I know about him. He's a man who didn't get off an elevator. He tried, but he didn't make it. Mrs. Amboy's eyes glittered through the shadows of the room, filled with shadows. And all that was in them was the hard crust of a hatred finally resolved. It was not only Eddie's clothes she had burned, but his touch, his gaze on her, the whispered night words. There was nothing more I could ask her about Eddie that she would answer. So I got out. The picture, the identification card and the wallet she gave me belonged to the man who had been murdered and found in the elevator. Now I knew who he was, but I needed more than that. There was an address on the card. I went to it.
Oh, well, I'm afraid you'll have to come back some other time, sir. Dr. Stafford is not in.
I know that. I'm from the police. Danny Clover. And you?
The attendant. I helped Dr. Stafford in the small hospital here. Only Dr. Stafford and myself. Police?
Yes. I want to...
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to take up whatever it is you want with Dr. Stafford. I'm not in a position. What is it you want, Mr. Clover?
Something like this. How is it you don't seem to know that Dr. Robert Stafford is dead?
Well, he often takes trips away from here for 2 or 3 days at a time. I never could... Dead?
Murdered.
That's impossible. Well, he was so hale and hearty when he left here. He was so...
Murdered.
I knew it would happen someday. I knew it, and I told him so many times.
Why? Why did you tell him that?
Because of the nature of his profession. Dr. Stafford was a psychiatrist, a very competent one. Some of the people he treated were mad. Murderous and mad. You've only to read the veiled records. Calling.
Where are they?
What?
The records, where are they?
Oh, in his office, in there. But you've no right. You've no right. Those are Dr. Stafford, please, Mr. Clover.
These papers here on the desk? Are these records?
Yes, Dr. Stafford was studying those the night he went away. I haven't touched them. Dr. Stafford didn't like
case
anyone.
Case history, Conrad. Doesn't make sense. I can't understand what's written here.
The psychiatrist's records are like that, Mr. Clover. Mr. Clover, you can't take those, would you? They belong to Dr. Stafford.
Welcome, Danny. Welcome to the office that Troy built with the taxpayers' money, Dan.
Dr. French, how are you?
All right, Danny, all right. Well, what brings you to the city psychiatrist?
Problem?
A problem.
Off the record?
On it, Doctor. I've got a file here. It's filled with words and parts of words that I don't understand. A file about a sick woman.
Illness requires a special language, Danny. Let me take a look.
Here. Anything, Doctor?
Gently, Danny, gently. This is quite a history.
Sum it up for me, Doctor. Tell me so I can understand.
Can the lay mind understand insanity? For the woman named Conrad, it says here that she's insane.
How insane?
The insanity of the headlines, Danny. The sensational insanity. The woman named Conrad is a homicidal maniac.
Yeah, yeah.
This woman needs attention. According to these notes, she was going to be committed.
I know, but which one?
I don't understand.
Which one, Doctor? Which Conrad? Martha or Mary? Which is a homicidal maniac? Which? Tataglia, get in here.
Yeah, Danny, yeah. I was just in the... Hey, what are you doing with your gun, Danny? The old ammunition don't please you?
Something like that. Tataglia, I've got a thing for you to do.
Always a pleasure, Danny.
Tell the boys in the press room we've captured a homicidal maniac.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, where, Danny? Where is he?
A woman, Tataglia. A mad woman named Conrad. Tell the reporters we're holding her for the murders of Dr. Robert Stafford and Eddie Amboy.
Huh? You have spoken, Danny. But...
But what, Tataglia?
Well, me, a policeman. It makes me ashamed to confess it, but I don't know what's going on in the police department.
I'll whisper it in your ear, then you'll know. Eddie Amboy, he was the key to Daglio.
The key to what, then?
To the murder of Dr. Robert Stafford, to his own. Because he saw the Conrad woman kill Stafford, then blackmailed her in his own special way. Eddie had special ways.
Well, if I could only understand it, it would explain something.
Well, it explains Eddie's delay in calling the police. He had to fix it up with the murderer, Tataglia. It took him an hour. When he finally convinced her, he called us. He didn't know he was playing games with a mad woman.
Oh, and this Conrad was the woman who saw through the cable and thereby dropped an elevator on him?
Yeah.
Hey, but wait a minute, Danny. There are two Conrads, Mary and Martha. Now, don't play hard with my emotions, Danny. Which one was it, Mary or Martha?
How would I know? Another thing, Tataglia. One of the Conrad sisters is in her apartment now. I check. Tell Muggerman not to let the other sister get to her. Under no circumstances is one sister to contact the other. You got that?
Got it, Danny.
Yeah, one more thing. If anyone wants me, anyone, they can reach me at home. Is it all clear now, Tataglia? So I went home. I tapped on the landlady's door, told her I was expecting visitors, told her to send them up. In my apartment, I hung my shoulder holster with a gun across a chair, then sat facing the window, trying to hold on to at least one of the answers that kept nudging themselves through my mind. But they were fleeting and of no consequence. A murderer might come calling tonight. This was the thought that crowded out the rest of the thoughts. And then, below me, captured in the pool of light spread by the street lamp, a silhouette, a woman. A woman who looked for a house number, found it, walked to the door beneath me. Good evening, Miss Conrad.
May I come in?
I want you to. Over there, Miss Conrad. Sit down.
No. No. I'd rather stand.
All right. Why did you come here?
What have you done with her, Mr. Clover? What have you done with my sister, Martha?
You've seen the newspapers. The police have her. She'll see the psychiatrist in the morning. You know that, Miss Conrad. You know she needs medical attention.
I know. I know that. That you'll put her away. You'll put her away like an animal. She'll die in a cage. My sister.
Your sister murdered two men.
Yes. Yes.
Why didn't you come to the police? You knew she murdered Dr. Stafford. Knew about Eddie Amboy.
She'll die in a cage. Crawling in a cage.
Come in.
Martha. Martha, what are you doing here?
I don't
understand. That policeman, he said... The papers said...
They were holding you, Mary. I thought they'd finally caught you.
Finally.
Oh, Mary.
Mary. It's a trick. It's a trick. It's run. Let's get out of here.
No more running.
Come on.
No more.
Let's see. Let's go.
Huh? Sick, Mary.
Huh?
Don't you know that?
Huh?
I tried to help, but... Huh? Men is killing. Oh, Mary.
Don't touch me. You've turned on me. Now he knows. Now he knows. And you. I'll kill you both.
Mary, put down that gun.
I'll kill you.
Curled up and mixed with her hair, and behind the smoke, her face, fury disintegrating, dissolving into disbelief. She stood there, her body taut, her mind clutching for one fleeting instant of sanity that it was through, over, done with. The simple recognition that the gun had been harmlessly loaded. Then she rejected everything. A little while later, some men came. Men who knew about these things. They picked her up and carried her away. Broadway's deserted now, except for those who have never quit. Those who wear peepholes for eyes, the dreamwalkers, the people who want to laugh. They search behind doorways and alleys, through shuttered windows. And they never go home, because they can't. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia. The program was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. The musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Courage.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.